Firstly, restrooms are in the front, but there's also a men's room down this hallway, and 180 degrees behind me around is another ladies' room. So keep that in mind over the next hour or two that you're here. Secondly, and I forgot to bring it up, somebody left their cell phone at Wes's house last night. And so if you're missing a phone, come see me or David, and I've got it right over here. I know I'd be lost without my phone. We're here this morning to celebrate the life of one that touched every one of us here in some way. The celebration of life for our sister in the Lord. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we rejoice this morning that our sister is with Christ and doesn't know the sorrows or pains of the things that each one of us face each day. So we're here to rejoice in that and to trust that you will worship the Lord in these hymns that have been picked that were some of her favorites. So if you would please stand for the first hymn. I'm not going to direct. Ben's going to direct. 473. 473.
Song of victory.
Go ahead and remain standing for the reading of God's word.
I would encourage you all to follow along. It's on the back of the little thing you have there. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. John 11:17-27. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus told her. Martha said to him, "I know that you will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world."
Good morning. Please be seated. I'd like to thank you for coming today as we celebrate the life and legacy of a precious woman, mother, wife, friend, and servant of Jesus, Crystal Simpson. We come here today to give thanks for Crystal's life and for her life of faith in Jesus. Even as we gather in spirit of worship and remembrance, our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are sad. Because the fact is, Crystal's death was unspeakably tragic and her loss has been devastating for many who are here. And though the pain is deep and questions may not be answered, and we may not fully understand, we can celebrate her life even though we grieve. Crystal was a gift created by God. Thank you, God, that you fearfully and wonderfully made Crystal. Thank you, God, that you considered Crystal and gave her yourself and you gave her special gifts. And she loved others with love and with kindness. Thank you, God, for the gift of 28 years of marriage that she had with Matt, her beloved husband. Thank you for the amazing gifts of her sons, Joshua and Caleb, who she was able to love and take care of for many years. Thank you for her parents, David and Terry, and her brothers, Tim and Dustin and Keith. Thank you for her cherished friends and all of you who are her friends and loved ones who are here and some who could not be here today. This loss of hers is a great loss, and she will be missed. For most of 53 years of living here on the earth, she lived out her purpose because her life is a gift. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39 says this, "Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love." You can cling to God's word and his promises and to his love. And we can even celebrate that God will use even this loss to bring about more good than we can imagine. It does not eliminate the loss or minimize the grief, but it brings some redemptive value that Crystal's life and death will not be wasted. That's our prayer, that eternity might be different for many, and perhaps many here today, as a result of Crystal's life, because of her life with Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to pray right now because there are many who are grieving. I thank you that you're the lover of our soul. You care about us when things are really hard, when we're brokenhearted. I'm reminded you are healer. In this loss, even though it's tough, you are with us. And there is hope. And I just pray you'd help us to celebrate Crystal well today and to show the love that she showed to many others. In Jesus' name, amen. Our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small and too few. Christ, you are the snow king. You are the maker of all weathers. You are the king of sunlight and storms. The king of the gray skies and the rain. You are the rain king. You are the hurricane king. You are the king of autumn. You are the king of spring. And our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small and too few. You are the Lord of the harvest, the grain king, the wine king, the God of plenty, the God of hearth and home. You are the hill king and the wildflower king, the great king of the bears and the king of the canyons. You are the monarch of the meadows and the lord of the lava fields, the ruler of the desert wastes and the polar king, the rainbow king, the king of the southern cross, and the king of the northern lights. You are the king of rabbits and the lord of tall trees. You are the god of youth and the god of age. You are the acorn king, the river god, the swamp king, the king of the glades, and the king of the dell, and the ruler of all hummingbirds. You are the horse lord, the crag king, the lord of the bees, the king of all walruses, the commander of rhinos, and the lord of lightning bugs. You are the cave lord, the mountain king, the ruler of the grassy plains, and the god of the valley. You are the captain of the clouds, the wolf king, the king of the cockatoos, and our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small and too few. You are the weaver of the unseen fabrics of the world. You are the Lord of the atoms, the ruler of electrons, the Lord of gravity, the king of sparks. Your dominion enfolds the earth, rises beyond it, the further extremes of the stars. You are the Lord of the vast empty spaces, and you are the king of the constellations. The black hole king, the lord of the novas exploding, the lord of speeding light, the high king of the galaxies, the king of Orion, the king of the moon, and still, even still, our thoughts of you, O Lord, are too small and too few. You are the God of justice. You are the God of wisdom, the God of mercy, and the God of redemption. You are the God of love. And all of this is true, but our thoughts of you are still too few, for our minds are too small to conceive them all. You are before all things. You created all things, and in you all things are held together. There's no corner of creation that you, Lord, fail to redeem. You are the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Amen. And you are the Lord of Crystal Simpson's life. Crystal had a solid faith. She believed in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Crystal was passionate about Christ. She wanted her family and her neighbors and her friends to know him in a relationship. Crystal loved the gospel and the Bible and wanted to be part of a Bible-believing church like this one that would preach the gospel to other people. Crystal was saved by grace through faith, and this was not of her own doing. It was the gift of God, so that no one can boast, Ephesians 2:8. Crystal loved greatly, and she was an incredible person, a faithful wife, a beloved mother. She was humble. She was gentle, sacrificial, honorable, zealous, friendly, compassionate, funny, opinionated, giving, encouraging, and so much more. But I'm so thankful she wasn't saved because she was a good person. She was saved because she had put her faith alone in Jesus Christ and the blood that he paid on the cross. This is the greatest truth. We receive eternal life and a personal relationship with our Creator only on the work of Jesus on the cross. On the 2nd of June, before, I think it was 2 days before her 53rd birthday, Crystal stepped into eternity. So now, her hope has sight. Her faith is no longer needed to just hope Jesus is there. She sees Jesus. And as this celebration of Crystal's life reminds us of the brevity of life, life is short. She would want you to consider and know God, to know Jesus, his love and his mercy. So if she was here with you today, she would give you one message. You need to believe in Jesus now if you don't. You need to be all in for Jesus today if you have not. He is life. He is the way. So I want to share the good news with you in a simple way really quickly. God created you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants you to know him. He wants you to love him. And when God created the world, he had Crystal in mind. And he put a plan at work for each of us because he had us in mind as well. When God created the world, it was perfect, and the first people had a perfect relationship with God. But at some point, they sinned and they turned from God and they departed God's good design for their life. Sin separates us from God, all of us. And this is a really big problem in the world. And nothing can fix it except Jesus. Jesus took the punishment that was due to us because of our life of sin. He died in our place. He gave his life, his life's blood, to pay the debt we could never pay. It's a gift. It's a gift that makes you right with God, a gift that gives you the Holy Spirit, a gift that will come in and possess you and give you eternal life. And as we look at the life of Crystal and what she got was the gift of salvation. And so God is saying to us today, come to me, receive me, come in, let me in with humility, with brokenness. I want to encourage you to ask him to forgive you of all your sins. Trust him, for he is faithful. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you from everything you've ever done so that you can be right with God and feel right. If Crystal was here today, she would want you to surrender to Jesus, to be all in for Jesus, to know him, even if you don't understand everything that I'm saying right now. So will you respond in faith today? Will you ask for life? Crystal is alive. She is more alive than any of us because she received the gift of God. Jesus looks at us dead in sin, in this dying and broken world, and we can see it more and more each day. And he will give us life, and he will give us hope. For those who've already received Jesus in our group here, everybody here who is a Christian, we have hope in this circumstance. We have Jesus with us. But for those who need to receive the gift, you can talk to God right now. Tell him you want him. Tell him you need him to forgive you of your sins. Tell him you want to know his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. Let's pray. God, you are life. You are love. You bring hope in the darkness. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. We love you and trust you and receive your grace today as we celebrate the life of Crystal. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, Matt Simpson is going to come up and give us a eulogy.
I'm overwhelmed. Everyone here, your love and support in my family's darkest hour is remarkable. You've helped us and continue to help us manage our way through this immense sorrow. This has been the absolute worst, most terrible time in my life. You know, I've had some extremely stressful times as an Air Force chaplain. But losing my bride, like she died, nothing compares. At times, I do have inconsolable sorrow, especially in those first few days. I wept bitterly with the deepest groans of emptiness. The steroid prednisone did this dark deed, not Crystal, not the real Crystal. But this morning, we're celebrating. We're celebrating the life of Crystal. I want to tell you about the Crystal, the real Crystal, the Crystal that we all knew before she started this treatment for her autoimmune liver disease last summer. Besides the Lord, I knew Crystal better than anyone. We would have celebrated our 29th anniversary this August 5th. I knew Crystal for almost 3 decades. So both of us being 52, we spent most of our earthly lives together. My love grew deeper for her over time. Crystal was the delight of my eyes, my heart. She was a true gift from the Lord. Now let's go all the way back to 1994. We were both airmen at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I just transferred to that base. She was already there. I had recently become a Christian, and she would soon become a Christian. We were both, I believe, 22 or 23 years old. We both felt a connection with each other almost immediately. We went on our first date at Results Fitness Center in Tucson, Arizona, the gym of all places. You know, Crystal didn't own a car, but she took a risk anyway and signed a 1-year contract at the gym, and of course depended on me as her means of transportation. That was our first date. You see, she was quite confident that I was crazy about her. She even, at the gym, took the risk of playing me one-on-one in basketball when she wiped the floor with me. I didn't even score a single point. When you meet the spouse God has planned for you, you know, Crystal and I both knew. She was an answered prayer for me, and I was an answered prayer for her. For our entire marriage, we were faithful to each other the way it should be, the way God designed it to be. But so few in our modern, perverted, immoral culture practice these days. A few months later, in 1995, we went out for dinner. Crystal's favorite food, Mexican. At the dinner, I tricked her. I went to the restroom and came back, and I kneeled in front of the table where she was sitting, and I tied my shoe. Not propose. You should have seen the look on her face. But after dinner, we went for a drive up into the Catalina Mountains, where I did propose to her. On a beautiful cool night, the stars fully lit above us up in the mountains, she, of course, said yes. And then Crystal's parents, David and Terry, became my parents. They gave us a magnificent wedding. Our wedding in August 1995, after our wedding in August 1995, we had quite an adventure for almost 29 years. We loved the Lord and strove to serve Him as best we could. We both grew in our maturity in Christ. Jesus was the center and the foundation of our marriage. Even though she's departed to be in the presence of the Lord, Crystal has left her mark on me, and not just in Christian maturity, but in other interesting ways. You see, I still squeegee the water off of the sink counter, and I wipe down the mirror of water splashes after I shave. And I put things away, and I close cabinet doors. And I still plan on keeping those looky-at towels in the bathroom that are not for using, but for decoration. I have pictures of how she decorated our tree and made our bed with the decorative quilt and pillows so I can somehow repeat it just like she had it. Recently, I even found Crystal's voice recording on her phone of her reading 1 John out loud as she worked hard to memorize the book, which she almost did. Crystal was such an encourager, too. She would write uplifting post-it notes with words from the Bible and her confidence in me. She was my biggest cheerleader in difficult and doubtful situations. Crystal sacrificed greatly over 2 decades for me to complete rigorous seminary study and serve as an Air Force chaplain. Indeed, her parents, David and Terry, raised a fine daughter who was a remarkable blessing to me. And of course, our 2 sons, Joshua and Caleb. So Crystal was an excellent and God-fearing mother. From the start, she wanted to name our boys Joshua and Caleb because those names were the only 2 leaders of the tribes of Israel after they came out of Egypt who spied out the promised land that God had made. Those were the only 2 leaders of the 10 who trusted the Lord to give it to them. The other 10 cowered at the giants in the land and the peoples there. But Joshua and Caleb had courage and faithfulness. So she and I both desired that our sons, Joshua and Caleb, would be the Joshua and Caleb of their generation, this generation. I can recall times when our boys were downcast and discouraged, and she would rub their backs to make them feel better. She would hang out with them and watch movies when they were lonely, movies that she might not even have cared to watch. She would, unlike me, she would talk softly to them to encourage them to do better when they needed correction and redirection. She would pray for them, pray for their salvation and for God to provide Christian wives for them one day. I recall one time Crystal laying on the floor, prostrate before God, praying for Caleb for at least an hour when she was so worried about him. Both Joshua and Caleb loved their mom very much and do love their mom very much because she lives even today. And they have expressed to me their eagerness to see her again in heaven, and I am eager as well. When God calls me home to heaven, the first person I want to see, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who made the way for me to be there. The second person I want to see is Crystal. Now, you can see, if you're on Facebook, the comments underneath my posts about her passing away. Just the Christ-like impact that Crystal had on so many of the women God put in her life. But Crystal was humble and didn't brag about herself either. I could go on and on. Time does not allow for me even to highlight all the Christian fruit that Crystal produced over her faithful walk with the Lord. Well, thankfully, Crystal is no longer suffering like I and many of you here saw her suffer over the last 8 to 9 months. She's with the Lord now and forever. And I'd like to reiterate, as Pastor Jonathan said earlier, that God will bring great good out of this terrible loss. And God already has. Even today, you see, many of you in here have not believed the good news about Christ. You haven't believed the gospel that you heard Pastor Jonathan share with you from the Bible. Indeed, Crystal did love the gospel and would want you to embrace it like she did. Crystal, although quiet and shy, had a burden for people under God's wrath. She wanted them to hear the gospel of God that rescues people from God's just wrath. Indeed, she took what John chapter 3 says with great gravity, and I read from verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. If Crystal could speak to you from heaven, she would implore Christians to live the gospel, to be ambassadors for Christ. And for those who are not Christians, to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross is your only hope. Your only hope for reconciliation to God and way to heaven. God's Savior for the world is the God-man, God the Son, Jesus Christ. He's our pure Lord. No so-called God, no so-called Messiah even compares. They're all false. Jesus is the fairest. As I close and we sing our next two hymns, I want to point out that this next hymn that we are going to sing was Crystal's absolute favorite. So please stand for the singing of Fairest Lord Jesus, number 88 in your hymn book.
Yeah. continue singing. We're going to turn in your hymn books to number 551. Soon and very soon.
Be seated. We're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we magnify your name because we're a people that have gathered here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of faith and grace, we are people of hope beyond the grave. And knowing this morning with great confidence that our sister is safe in the arms of Christ, that she's safer now than she's ever been in her entire life here. And she's with all the hosts of heaven, never to know those sorrows and pains that we suffer here yet. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the precious promises that you give to us in your word of the resurrection of Christ. Those that are gathered here this morning that are in Christ, that is our hope. Many of us over the years have said goodbye to ones that we love, knowing yet there will be a time that we will meet them again. That our brother Matt will see Crystal, and we will see lost our parents or siblings or cousins and brothers and sisters, and the list goes on. We thank you for the hope of the gospel. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bless our continued fellowship here in the next hour. We thank you for your provision of food that folks can all stay here and fellowship around a meal. And we thank you for your goodness, your power, and your presence. We especially ask that in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, that you would be with the Bus family, the Simpson family, and the extended family, that we may hold on to Christ. Hold on to his precious words, knowing that his hold on us is greater than our hold on him, and that we cannot stand for 1 hour apart from him. And Lord, may in the weeks and the months ahead, the witness and testimony of your people here that are gathered in the family, that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be our all in all. In his name, amen. This concludes our celebration, but there's more. On behalf of the family, I want to sincerely thank you for being here and for the many expressions of messages and hugs, and the list goes on, that you've shown to the family. And the family's going to gather up here in the front so you can come. If you've not had a chance either last night, yesterday, or today, come up and certainly express your love, your kindness, and your compassion for them. Also, we invite you to stay. We do have luncheon next door. It's already prepared. We've asked the Lord's blessing on it, so please come and join. There's nothing like fellowshipping with the saints and around a meal and express your love. And so sincerely thank you for being here. In Christ's name, amen.